I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about employing people with disabilities. We'll talk about what the challenges are and where the opportunities are. We'll talk about the gains and losses in the fight to fully integrate people with disabilities into the workforce, and we'll discuss what obstacles remain in that struggle. We will talk about this with our guests, United States Representative Andre Carson, Bosma Enterprises CEO Lou Moneymaker, and Trellis Evans of Goodwill Industries. Please join the conversation by calling us toll-free at 1-866-476-3881, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about employing people with disabilities. We're fortunate to have as our guests Representative Andre Carson, a Democrat from Indianapolis. Representative Carson, welcome to the program.
It's always an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Lou Moneymaker, who is the CEO of Bosma Enterprises. Good to have you here.
Thank you, John. Appreciate being here.
Certainly. Glad to have you here. And Trellis Evans, who is the Manager of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Industries. Trellis, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to invite our listeners to join this conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I'd like to start a little bit with, an overview. What are the obstacles, if there are any that remain, in employing people with disabilities? I think I'll start with you, Representative Carson.
Well, I think it's beyond just providing resources and jobs, but it's about investing in people and unlocking opportunities for all those people who call this city of Indianapolis, a home, and people who want to make an investment. It's really about giving folks dignity, allowing them to not be defined by their disability, but allowing them to have empowered lives and having the kind of built-up self-esteem so necessary to help make a productive citizen and a productive society.
Oh, are there still legal barriers or other challenges out there that make that difficult?
There are always legal challenges, but I think from the perspective of given our economic downturn, it's a great opportunity to hire people with disabilities because, one, for some of my conservative friends, Democrat and Republican, these folks aren't being bankrolled, as it were, by the federal government. They're actually paying taxes. Mm-hmm. They're making a contribution to society. And in fact, when I got a chance to visit Easter Seals, I saw a greater work ethic in the men and women who were there, who were employed, who were working there, than I've seen in a lot of warehouses and factories that I've visited, and I visit them regularly. And so it's really about empowerment. I spoke to one family a while ago, and they told me that their greatest goal for their daughter was to get her to the point where she could become a greeter at a department store. Mm-hmm. Now, most of us, when we think about our goals, I have a daughter myself. My goal is, of course, to see her go to college and have a successful career. But to even have a parent strive to have their child become a greeter, that's a huge success. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to make a greater investment. And oftentimes in some circles, this is even a taboo subject. But to give folks the kind of dignity that all humans deserve, to mm-hmm. be able to have a working life, some independence, some autonomy, it's a wonderful thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the humane thing to do.
Mm-hmm. What challenges do you face in terms of employing the disabled, Lou Moneymaker, Bosma Enterprises?
Well, John, a part of our job is actually to either employ or provide employment opportunities for people who are blind or visually impaired. And in doing so, we certainly reach into other disability groups as well. I would say the biggest challenge we have out there, the biggest obstacle that you asked about earlier, mm-hmm. is educating the public and making the public aware of the capabilities of people who have disabilities. When you look at work records, as an example, Bosma Enterprises, we have approximately 200 employees. About 115 of those are blind or visually impaired. We're involved in light manufacturing, production work, etc., and we have had zero reportable incidents in the past 4 years. There are a lot of preconceived notions about the inabilities of people who are blind or visually impaired, or for that matter, disabled in general. And it just doesn't prove to be the case. So I think education, awareness are two words that loom in front of us all the time as the primary obstacles to people being afforded the appropriate opportunities to work who are disabled.
And I think we're going to end up spending an awful lot of time talking today about that whole education and altering perceptions. I'd kind of like to start here with the place that I did, and I'm going to toss it to Trellis Evans now of identifying what the challenges are. It's sort of basic thing. You identify the problem, then you try to solve it. So I'll start with Trellis Evans. What obstacles do you see in terms of Goodwill's mission?
Yes, I agree with Lou. What we do somewhat is provide employment for individuals, as well as help them go out and search for other employment. And some of our obstacles, what we see are training of the actual employee. And that's what we've kind of focused on, is training and developing the employee on the skills that are out there now. A lot of the employment opportunities out there now, what we've seen is they're asking for individuals to be able to multitask and not do what we have done in the past, some of the job carving or one particular task. So what we've kind of worked on at Goodwill is working with the individual on developing other skills, use of assistive technology, as well as giving them other skills, multiple skills, so that they can go out and get employment in the workforce. And that's what we've seen as our barriers. So that's been what we've been focusing on for the actual employee.
We are talking today about employing people with disabilities. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or shoot us a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I want to talk a little bit here, and I realize we probably ought to take it even one step back and say, how do we define disability? Because I think if we're talking about perceptions here, it seems to me there are two challenges. One is the perception that the public has, and also how people themselves, their self-perceptions, whether they're defined by the disability or defined by other means. I'll start with Lou Moneymaker on that one. How do you define disabled?
Well, that is an absolute gigantic question. Mm-hmm.
We don't ask the easy ones here, Lou.
If you go to the federal government as an example, I think at this point in time you can search and find somewhere in the vicinity of 38 to 40 different definitions of disability. So it is, and that covers an expanse of territory. You would think that even a large number of definitions, they would be somewhat the same. That's not always the case. And many times, and it's a difficult question to answer because disability, we have a tendency as non-disabled people to clump all disability into one group. And within disability, the differences of disability are as different as night and day. As an example, there's an enormous difference, and how you would define it would have to be different. As an example, for someone who is a double leg above the knee amputee versus someone who is totally blind. Even within blindness, someone who is totally blind versus someone who is legally blind and has some usable vision. I don't think there is not trying to evade your question,
no,
but I don't think there is a single definition of disability that is able to capture everything. And I think that leads to the kind of thinking sometime that is very minimal about disability when those of us who aren't all disabled try to lump that all into one pot. It just doesn't work.
And is that part of of the problem is that the definition is hard to arrive at, Trellis Evans, of Goodwill Industries?
Yes, I believe that's correct as well. I think that what Goodwill looks at is the people with disabilities. We look at them as just a life barrier. So that could be me or you, Lou, or Representative Carson. There could be, we could have a limitation or a barrier to life, and that's what we should be focusing on, not necessarily a physical or mental or medical, disability. We really should look at it as just a life barrier, and then how can we overcome that barrier?
Something that's kind of an obstacle to success.
Yes.
Or whatever. So it could be something that even doesn't meet a legal definition.
Correct.
Or whatever. Well, in terms of Representative Carson, since we have you here as a member of the legislative body that drafts this, in terms of what the law requires and government's role in terms of dealing with people's disabilities, is the question of definition important? And, what are the guiding principles in arriving at a definition that someone is disabled?
I think Lou is right. I mean, there is a bit of ambiguity in terms of having a succinct definition, but most of us view a person with disability as having some kind of limitation, i.e. through maybe a physical limitation or through the senses or maybe even a mental limitation. And Lou could speak more deeply on this issue, but I know at Bosma Industries, you have the visually impaired building computer parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not as succinct as some would like, but I think it needs to be broad enough so we don't get ourselves caught into a trap of what we may traditionally think of someone with disabilities as being limited. This issue largely is rooted in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Misperception and misunderstanding. And so I think the more we educate folks, the more we have the Goodwill Industries of the world, the more we have Bosma Industries, we could open the doors and educate society and encourage and incent employers to hire those persons with disabilities.
Well, and in terms of that, we're talking about the fear and all of that. Is there still a stigma attached to saying, I mean, do people shy away from saying I have a disability or whatever? That obviously that would have been the case a couple of generations ago. We've done some work, I think, as a society and culture to change that. But is it still in place? Trellis Evans, I see you nodding your head up and down. So
yes.
I'm gonna go with you first on that.
Definitely is still in place. We had several applicants that walk in the door of Goodwill Industries, and we do take time to explain to them this is a safe place. I would like to know your disability. Let's talk about it so that we can put that behind us and overcome the barriers and get you working and work on that. So those are things that we want to talk about, and we have a hard time getting that pulled out of people.
And is that something you, when you were talking just a moment ago, you talked about how you see it as a life barrier rather than, have you arrived at that kind of terminology to get around the fear of the stigma of saying?
Well, not necessarily arrive there, but we truly think that it's a life barrier, and we do career planning and we try to not talk about the disability as far as it's something being something negative, because that's how we were born, that's how we were made. So that's what it is.
You are who you are.
You are who you are.
You accept that. You move on. You
yes.
play the cards that you've dealt with. Is that a difficult conversation to have?
The first time, yes. But once an employee walks in or a candidate walks in, we sit down and have a conversation. When they leave our offices, I think they feel a lot more safer. They feel a lot more open, and they understand a little bit more about how society is, seeing them with a disability or individual with a disability.
We are talking today about employing people with disabilities. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We are talking today with Representative Andre Carson, Lou Moneymaker, who is the CEO of Bosma Enterprises, and Trellis Evans, who is Manager of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Industries. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism. and executive editor of thestatehousefile.com. We are talking today about employing people with disabilities. We're fortunate to have as our guest Congressman Andre Carson, Lou Moneymaker, who is Bosma Enterprises CEO, and Trellis Evans, who is Manager of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Industries. We've gotten an email question from a listener, and you can email questions to us by sending the email to nolimits@wfyi.org, who asks, why are deaf and blind schools under control of the health department? Why in the 21st century are we allowing the health department to regulate these schools? I'll start probably with Andre Carson, I think, is in terms of determining why government makes the decisions it does. You're the best authority on the program today.
That's a great question. I've been asked that question quite a few times, and I think it's something that we need to talk more deeply about. I think that the Department of Education should weigh in. I think that those schools and those students in those schools have unique needs that require a certain kind of specificity that could and a different kind of pedagogy and learning that needs to take place to meet that need. But I think that the Department of Education could have a greater input. But, you know, I have heard people say because of traditional testing requirements that these schools would have different oversight because you can't test using traditional standards in most cases. And so that's one of the reasons. But given the fact that we are now exploring different testing models for those who are different kinds of learners, you know, most of us are visual learners, but if you have a visual impairment, you may be more inclined, or you'll probably be more inclined to be an auditory learner or a kinesthetic learner. You touch and feel things more. But I think that one of the reasons is because you can't use traditional testing models to test achievement and test scores and growth and development.
Yes, Lou Moneymaker.
Just one thing I'd like to say in response to the questioner is that schools for the blind and school for the deaf are no longer under the Department of Health. They are under an independent board of directors that's appointed by the governor of the state of Indiana.
Okay, so it is a different arrangement than that was the case. Marcia, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Your question, please.
Yes, my brother has Asperger's, and I've actually taken him to Easter Seals to try to find full-time employment because he does currently work at Jimmy John's at 15 hours a week, and we were turned down because he does have a job. Do you have any suggestions on how or where I could try to find some resources to find him full-time employment?
Good question. We will take it up. Thank you for the call, Marcia. Well, I'll throw that one open to the panel. How would you suggest that Marcia find help for her brother someplace to get him started on a full-time job? I'll start with Trellis Evans.
Okay, I would recommend coming into the doors of Goodwill Industries, actually. That's what we do. We take walk-ins, have them complete an application. We would do an assessment, sit down with him, do a career kind of goal, see what job he's looking for, and then go from there.
And you can actually help guide them here. Is there a URL, a phone number, or even an address? You're allowed to do that here.
Yeah,
we want this to be helpful. News you can use.
For the address that they can come directly to the door is 413 North Tremont Street. They can ask for myself, Trellis Evans, or any part of the employee development and training team. The applicants are right at the front desk. That's how we start, and then we go from there.
Are there other suggestions for finding full-time employment for somebody in that situation, Lou Moneymaker?
Trellis has hit the nail on the head. I think any of the agencies who provide these sorts of services, you can approach, and the agency will guide you in the right direction. We would do the same. Anybody that comes to our door, whether they're referred to by another agency or whether they walk in as a result of a parent, a friend, a doctor, et cetera, we would get them started in the process. We would also, after an intake interview, immediately start looking towards Indiana Vocational Rehabilitation Services to see if there's a part for them to play in this as well, and then get the people directed. In fact, Goodwill, Bosma, Easter Seals, Crossroads, all have kind of an open door, whereas we have sent clients to mm-hmm. one another depending on the circumstances and the need.
So there's a degree of collaboration across across the lines here. We're talking about employing people with disabilities today on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Certainly. Your question, please.
Well, actually, I was going to kind of make a tail-end comment on on how hard it is to kind of approach managers, hiring managers, about people with disabilities. I'm actually an employment consultant at Nobles, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And we work with Trellis and Goodwill Commercial Services. So we have a couple of clients employed through them, and they've actually treated us very well. But it's very tough to actually go out there into the community and get people to look past that disability label, because as one of the speakers had mentioned, that they do kind of have the worst kind of worst case scenario whenever you bring up that word. So some of our job coaches, we actually, we'll be upfront and we'll mention that we work with people with disabilities. Most of our clients have intellectual disabilities. Some, they'll kind of hold off on mentioning it on it mm-hmm. until, there's an actual interest. And, just also to kind of comment on what that girl was saying, I really think vocational rehab is a great way to try to go. They can, kind of point you in the right direction on who might have the best services, for that person's needs. I know, Noble, we do actually work with people who do have part-time jobs that are looking, for full-time or, even other part-time jobs too. And I know the other companies, they do, just as good of a job as well. So.
Well, thank you for the call, Matt. And really what he's talking about here is this question of perception, how you get past that. What is the trick? I mean, in a short, to use the term we use in the professional world, what's the elevator speech on that? How do we do it very quickly? Representative Andre Carson.
As I said at the beginning of the program, I think we have to educate people. I think we have to work methodically. I think we have to work with our partners like Goodwill, like BOSMA, to slowly build up a campaign of educating folks that this isn't a limitation. It's, in fact, an opportunity. As I mentioned earlier, I visited many warehouses, and when I went to Easter Seals Crossroads, I was thoroughly impressed by the kind of work ethic, the gratitude, the mm-hmm. pride that those men and women, fellow Hoosiers and Americans, took in performing their job duties. I would encourage many folks to visit that facility and other Ability One certified facilities to really get some to really become it makes you introspective and it makes you appreciative, and those times you want to complain about your job or your boss or your manager, and you see fellow citizens who are taking pride in what they're doing because they know that they may have what society perceives to be a limitation, it could make you think twice about complaining about anything.
We are talking today on No Limits about employing people with disabilities. Larry, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you.
Certainly. Your question, please.
I am wondering, with the return of veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan in time, whether there might possibly be a kind of special or unique role for those disabled veterans to play in terms of building awareness for what their real capabilities might be. And I guess I'll take my answer off the air.
Great. Thank you very much for the call, Harry. Good question. I saw a lot of people nodding their heads up and down. Trellis Evans, I'll start with you on that one.
What I can say is that I know for Goodwill Industries, we have partnered with the VA hospital, their voc rehab department, and already started looking at what we can do to help the disabled vets coming in, helping them get some employment opportunities or get some assessments in. So we've partnered up with them already. So that's what I can say from what Goodwill has done for, working with the disabled veterans.
Is there a danger here? I don't want to mischaracterize Larry's question, because I think he's trying to work with what is a noble goal. But as he was talking, I was also listening and thinking, okay, is there somewhat a danger in saying, okay, you could make this add to the perception problem, too, that if you say it's a veteran who comes back with a disability from serving the country's battles, somehow that's an honorable disability while others are not. Andre Carson, Representative Andre Carson.
I think we have to absolutely make a commitment to our veterans. I met with a group of business owners yesterday. Many of them are veterans, and they qualify as veteran-owned businesses. And to hear them talk about the stigma that is attached to those men and women who have served our country very honorably, to come back and not get the same kind of appreciation reciprocated in the workforce or once they're trying to reintegrate back into the workforce, I think it's disappointing. I can proudly say that just a couple months ago, President Obama signed one of my bills into law that dealt with veterans issues. And before people exit the military, they are now required, because of this piece of legislation, to get financial training, to get training on increasing their financial knowledge, because oftentimes what we see is those veterans who are trying to get back into society, they don't have the skills necessarily to enter the workforce because they come from a military structure or paramilitary structure, and they don't have the ability to manage their funds and resources. So couple that with a society, and we saw this during the Vietnam War era, and a society that is often unappreciative of their efforts and the time that they served. When I had the chance to visit Afghanistan, I met with many veterans, and they expressed to me the stigma that exists in the military, dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and the levels of secrecy that surrounds those who are in leadership and the suppression efforts that are in place to get those folks help. It's unacceptable. So now we have folks coming back into society who have complications or who may be physically impaired, who can't find gainful employment, who can't find the kind of employment that will give them the dignity that I mentioned earlier in this program, and it's disappointing. I think there should be a nationwide push, given our war efforts across this world, to pair up and to incentivize and to incent companies to hire our vets. We have Goodwill, as Ms. Evans talked about. We have BOSMA. But we need more organizations in place to serve as a safety net for our vets. I was at a shelter two days ago. And I'd probably have to say 30-35% of the shelter were filled with veterans, Desert Storm, Iraqi veterans, and, of course, Vietnam War veterans. And it's utterly disappointing. They complain how they can't keep a job. They would like to get a job. But, of course, as they've come over, they've not only developed some mental health concerns, but they have physical impairments as well. But because these needs haven't been met properly by the military, in a way that is sustainable and comprehensive, they fall into the cracks, and they become, unfortunately, the dark side of the undercurrent of our society that we're left to deal with.
And I know earlier in the program, Lou Moneymaker made the point that we can't look at the disabled as a sort of monolithic entity, that there are many different things. But I guess when Representative Carson was talking, I got sort of this idea that, is there even more of a stigma, you know, if you are blind or, you know, you're an amputee or something, it's a disability that's easy to see in the military culture, the post-traumatic stress disorder or anything like that, because it isn't readily available to the eyes, is somehow less acceptable? Do we see those kinds of tensions as well, Trellis Evans?
I would have to say yes, definitely. Unfortunately, there is a stigma out there. If an employer sees a person that doesn't look, you know, like me or you, that they automatically assume, well, there's a person that's not going to do a great job. You know, we get that sometimes, unfortunately. And what I can say, we do employ individuals with disabilities as well as non-disabilities. And I will say that our individuals with disabilities are the best employees we have. They are the ones that come to work every day. They're the ones that are hardworking. They're the ones that work extra hours if we ask them to. And they don't have attendance issues and those things. So for whatever reason, that is the case. But we got to get past that and look past that that disability on the individual. And what are their abilities? What can they bring to the table as for employers? That's part of the...
We are talking about employing people with disabilities today on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Steve, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for taking my call and
Certainly.
Your panel. When there's talk of federal budget cuts to save money, specifically programs that are targeted to hire people with disabilities, I guess to your panel, what is the impact going to be if they have those cuts to the people with disabilities? And in the end, are we actually saving money in the long run?
Good question. Thank you very much for the call, Steve. I'll start with Lou Moneymaker on that one. What is the impact of those budget cuts?
Well, budget cuts of any kind as it relates to programs for people with disabilities can be significant. We rely, in many cases, on those dollars to pump into our programs. Goodwill is an example, BOSMA as well. We have an inherent funding mechanism through our business, but the programmatic sides of our company, the business economics won't run those.
Mm-hmm.
The business economics run the business, and you still have to rely on governmental funding, philanthropy.
What sort of services are you talking about?
Services such as we have someone who goes blind,
mm-hmm.
a recent occurrence of blindness, and they need some rehabilitation. BOSMA Industries or BOSMA Enterprises has a business machine, but it also has a state-of-the-art rehabilitation facility for people who are newly blinded who require the services to get themselves back to the point where they're ready to reintegrate into work, reintegrate into the society, etc. We have school-to-work programs that we do in conjunction with public schools as well as the Indiana School for the Blind for young people, getting them prepared to go out to work. Any number of programs that go on around our companies that aren't the business part of the company. Cuts in government funding will affect that. Cuts in government funding across the board to the federal agencies will affect our businesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking at about a 15% cut, maybe across the board. That's going to come. That's going to hit this coming federal fiscal year, and that will impact all of our businesses because much of our business is contracting with the federal government.
And quickly, what will be the impact for you? I mean, and put it in human terms.
Okay,
here.
Loss of jobs potentially.
How many?
Hard to tell. We hope we don't lose any. We will do everything we can not to have to lay people off, and we've never had to do that in BOSMA's history. But it's something that's in front of you all the time. If you don't have the revenue to support the programs that you have and the jobs that you're paying for, there potentially is a loss of jobs, and that's contrary to what our missions as the companies that we are. A big part of our missions are to put people to work, to provide employment opportunities.
We are talking about employing the disabled here today on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We're talking today with Representative Andre Carson, Lou Moneymaker of BOSMA Enterprises, and Trellis Evans of Goodwill Industries. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and executive editor of the State House File, in addition to being your host. We are talking today about employing people with disabilities. Our guests are Congressman Andre Carson, Lou Moneymaker, who is BOSMA Enterprises CEO, and Trellis Evans, who is Manager of Employee Development and Training at Goodwill Industries. Got an email question from a listener who wishes to remain anonymous. Says, My domestic partner was recently approved for federal disability payments because he has progressive chronic glaucoma. But he's now fearful that if he tries to find full-time work again, however, that his disability payments would be threatened. Is that true? Lou Moneymaker.
Yes, this is a big issue that confronts disability. Folks have public assistance, and they can earn up to X amount of dollars and still retain all the public assistance that they're receiving. If they earn a dollar over that amount, they lose everything, all public assistance. We are strongly and we are promoting prospective legislation that doesn't have what we call an earnings cliff, that once you make $1 more, you lose everything. We're promoting a graduated system whereby as you earn more than the allowable amount, there will be a corresponding taking back a part of the public assistance, but only on a graduated basis so that it doesn't become a disincentive to work more or earn more. It becomes an incentive, and eventually you can move that person off of public assistance altogether. And the savings up front, there will be expenses to put a program like that into place that are very upfront expenses, but over the long haul, the amount of savings in a program, if it were done that way, would be substantial.
Representative Carson, is there a legislative solution to this problem, and this problem really of disincentives built into government aid programs, been around for, you know, several generations here. Is there a way to get past it?
Well, I think Ability One is certainly a start. This goes into a larger conversation that we had on the break, and that is, given our contentious political environment, given the growing discussions about the need for cutting back on excessive government spending, which is valid, increasing levels of transparency in our government, very valid, but we can't do these things and hurt the American people. I think over the long run, the comment was made by Lou that the fewer resources that we invest in programs, in initiatives, like Goodwill, like BOSMA, will ultimately impact and affect the American people disproportionately in a harmful way. We will increase our unemployment rolls, and not only in doing that, we will have more people who will need to rely on the federal government for aid and assistance. This is unacceptable. It's unacceptable for politicians to get away with political posturing, thinking that they are making appeals to their constituencies when, in fact, they are hurting their constituencies. It's unacceptable. And that's why it is my hope to be on this show as an elected official, to call on people to make this year be a year for a referendum against those political figures and those who hold offices who vote against your and my interests and who hurt the American people, particularly persons with disabilities.
We are talking about employing people with disabilities here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Robert, welcome to the program.
The blind person, I was laid off this past June as a computer programmer. When I fill out online applications, sometimes they'll come back and they'll say they'll say things like at the bottom it'll say HR team, and I won't have any kind of a phone number I can call back to try and get more interviews with them. So I was wondering how can I get more interviews with these companies?
Good question, Robert. That is right on point. I'll start with Lou Moneymaker, since that seems to be in your bailiwick.
Robert, the first thing I would tell you is give us a call. 317-684-0600.
Give that number again real quickly.
317-684-0600, and that is BOSMA Enterprises. And Robert, call in this case and ask for me. I will make sure you get directed to the right person. We are confronted with these kinds of issues each and every day, and we're used to working with those issues, and we'll be more than happy to assist you in your efforts.
And Trellis Evans, I would assume you've got some expertise in this area, too. What advice would you give, Robert?
Very much similar to Lou. Have them contact us directly at Goodwill, because one thing is that we can get around the electronic systems, and that's a lot. Unfortunately, people with or without disabilities, that's where everybody's going to, electronic systems now. We do have a lot of connections in the community. I would like to also give out my number.
And please do.
That
please
is 524-3957.
Go ahead and do that again. People mm-hmm. often don't have the pencil ready
okay.
when you do that. So
524-3957. That's a direct line to me, and I will direct you in the right direction at that point.
As we are moving much more to a digital world and all of that, does that create additional challenges for people with disabilities? Trellis Evans, you're nodding your head up and down.
Yes, so actually, we have been working on some things to try to jump into this technology world with some training programs that we're trying to come up with to help individuals with significant disabilities learn a little bit more about computers and learn how to fill out an application online and to learn what do you need to do to get to a live person or who to call and talk to. So some of those training aspects we're already trying to work on and putting a program in place for that because we see that and we know that that's a big need out there.
Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about how we aid people with disabilities. It sounds like the other part of the equation here is what kind of training do we need to do for the companies that might be hiring so that they don't create barriers or obstacles that, you know, in many cases they may not even have thought of as obstacles. Lou Moneymaker.
Well, one of the big things in this area is to get a case open with Vocational Rehabilitation Services. Voc Rehab will help assist folks on the job site in getting adaptive equipment and all of those sorts of things. If the company can't provide it, then Voc Rehab will. That's obviously a determination from rehab counselor to rehab counselor. But there are pathways to get the accommodation that's necessary for a person to level the playing field and be successful in the employment world.
Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the program. Your question?
Yes. My wife is just 53 years old. She had a stroke when she was 26. She has tried forever to find a decent job. Nobody wants to try to hire because her speech is messed up. She has no fine motor skills in her right hand. Now, why can't we do something with these big companies to give them some tax incentive to hire people like that? She's on disability. She doesn't want to be on disability. She wants to work, but... and we live in a small rural country south of India. We're down in Davies County. There's really nothing down around there for her.
We will take that up. Thank you very much for the call. Well, and that's sort of a refrain and is on point with what we've been talking about here in this situation. Is that the biggest difficulty in meeting the challenge here, changing that sort of mindset and getting people to see what I think all three of you are in agreement that, you know, creating jobs and opportunities is actually decreases the burden on society, allows people, in addition to creating the dignity that Representative Carson and frankly Lou and Trellis both have spoken of, also has some immediate economic impact. Have we made strides in getting people to look at this differently, Trellis Evans?
I would have to say yes. The biggest thing is education. Trying to educate everybody about what disabilities are, how to interact with a person with a disability. What I have come across is a person that doesn't have a disability. Sometimes they come to us and ask, "Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act, or I don't know what to say." From an employer's point of view, that's pretty scary for an employer to say, well, I don't know what to do or why should I hire this person? So we got to educate individuals and employers, bring them all together, let them understand, again, they're human beings just like me or you, and let them know, focus on their abilities, what they can do, what they can, the positives that they can bring to your organization, and not focus on a disability. So it's a big part of educating.
Is that the most lasting damage that occurs to someone who has a disability, is that you know, often that ingrained perception that there are limitations placed on the possibilities for that person, Lou Moneymaker?
Well, I just honestly believe that that is the biggest barrier to employment opportunities, plain and simple, is the fact that non-disabled people like you and me, have these preconceived notions, and we don't hire based upon that. Congressman Carson mentioned something a while ago that we hire a lot of folks at our place, and we place a lot of people out in community employment. One of our objectives when we are approaching a community employer is to get someone who's in a position of decision-making in that company and get them inside the walls of Bosma Enterprises to see what goes on there. It's one thing to talk about the abilities of people who are disabled. It's another thing to go into a place like Goodwill, Bosma, Easter Seals, Crossroads, and see it at work. That's the greatest convincer that's out there. So I would put a plea out to all who are listening. If you're a prospective employer, call one of us, make an appointment, come see what happens, and you'll change your mind.
And we've gotten an email question from a listener named Bob that is exactly on point here and wanted to redirect us back to this appropriately. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. Says, I can imagine that part of the problem with employers not hiring people with disabilities is because the employer lacks a broader ability to see past a disability and appropriately use the disabled person's strengths. The stigma with the disabled, while it may not be true, is that they would only be able to perform one task. Are there programs or courses employers can take that offer a sort of creative thinking approach to utilizing disabled people at their company? Trellis Evans.
Oh, definitely. There are all kinds of trainees, online webinars. NISH from the Ability One program, they provide a lot of training for employers on just disability 101. Just, you know, there's the Ten Commandments out there. There's a lot of information out there. If the employer wants to know, there's information out there. If there's a specific person that wants to know some information, they can contact us, and I'm sure Lou, we can direct them on where they can get that information, where they can get that training.
Is there a website that you would recommend, since a lot of these people, the fact that the question came via email would tell me that this is a digitally oriented person.
I don't have a website off the top of my head, but if I could provide my email address, then I can provide that information to them.
That would be great. If you want to open up your email to the listeners, feel free.
Yes. That's T Evans at goodwillindy.org.
We are talking about employing the disabled here on No Limits. Lee, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much
Certainly.
For having this program. Congressman, I would like to thank you for all the effort that you do for veterans.
I appreciate you, Lee. Thank you.
And all that you do for this country and in our community.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you very much.
You too.
Mr. Lou Moneymaker, and also for the lady with Goodwill. One of my concerns is once an individual completes training at your programs or at your facilities, what are the percentages of individuals being placed in mainstream society with employment, particularly with blindness, with the different sight acuities, those that are low vision or high vision, and those that are totally blind? Is there a disparity there in the placement of those individuals for employment? Employment rate running at 70% in the disabled community. I would like to see
yes.
what your placement is.
Great. Thank you very much for the call, Lee. We'll try to get the question answered for you. Lou Moneymaker, what I imagine you can spit those rates out pretty quickly.
Well, I can spit some rates out,
okay,
not all.
Please do.
In terms of, and there were four or five questions in that question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to treat each of them real quickly here. in our placement involves both inside Basma and outside Basma.
Mm-hmm.
Our placement rate is running at about 65%. Now, you know, people would automatically think, well, that means 35% unemployment. Mm-hmm. Well, the gentleman just cited a statistic that is out there in front of all of us, and that's a 70% unemployment rate, particularly amongst people who are blind or visually impaired. And we're turning that mm-hmm. to a close to 65% employment rate. Now, a lot also when you're looking at employment rate depends on whether people stay employed for 15 days or for mm-hmm. 90 days or 120 or a year. So there are all different kinds of statistics about that. We happen to also run a school-to-work program at Basma, and we are getting an employment placement rate out of that program, either into employment or higher training, in excess of 70%. So, but it's not where it needs to be.
I think we are going to have to allow Lou Moneymaker to have the last word here in this fascinating conversation. We obviously could have done at least another hour on this. I'd like to invite all of you to come back at some point. I think our listeners would love that. And I individually would like to thank you as well. Representative Andre Carson, thank you for making time to spend time with us. Certainly glad to have you here. Lou Moneymaker of Basma Enterprises, thank you very much for spending this time with us. And Trellis Evans, thank you for joining us today. It has been a pleasure talking with all of you. We will be back next week when we're going to talk about the Peace Corps here in Indiana. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Talk with you next week.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.